Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
We find New Lara with a dagger in the chest of Thaddeus. Let's have some fun, shall we?
I say, New Lara, what the fuck?
Thaddeus, what happened? Oh my god, how did you even get hurt?
You stabbed me.
I stabbed you? Are you delirious?
Yeah, dude, you stabbed him.
Fighting over that fucking knife. Thaddeus, are you alright? Do you know anything about, I don't know, evil bewitched daggers?
Nope.
This thing just made me stab Thaddeus, is what you're telling me, and you're not going to try and get it away from me? Get it away from me.
All right.
If he removes me, something will happen to one of your friends.
What it wants will become clear soon, but in the meantime, we'll have some fun.
Well, that sounds fucking ominous.
If I don't try and get rid of it, it won't make me hurt you again.
We need to be all together on this to get ourselves out of this. I don't know if we can afford to tie you up and drag you behind us.
We have to get out of this fucking tower. We have to get Iskander.
You all crowd around in the teleporter area, yeah. And you are teleported. You see the bodies of three dead cultists on the floor here. You see a trail of blood running from this room down a hallway.
New Lara, can you go first?
Yeah.
As you light down the hallway and into this room, and a second trail of bloody boot prints heading up the corridor to the north. Standing amid the gore are three humanoid figures, two that look like misshapen statues of clay and stone, and one appearing as a humanoid made of flame.
And I enter the room.
The earth elementals and the fire elemental begin moving towards you.
So, should we just disengage and run forward?
I think it sounds like a good idea.
You head down the stairs to a walkway that appears to stretch across infinite space. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I am your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Carla Johnson.
Aw, me first for the fake out when he knows I'm super sleepy, so it's kinda mean. I play New Lara Moonbrook.
And Amy Moore.
Yeah, I had something really good to say when we were recording Fate Core, and I have thusly forgotten what it was. I play Thea Amastasia.
And finally, Tom Laird.
I rarely have anything good to say, and I play Flint Firebeard.
I mean, I see that based on how much waveform is in the finished episodes there, Tom.
Yeah,
gotta work on that.
That's a lot of dead spaces.
Tom's here for his good looks.
That's right.
That's right.
We need the beard.
Audio medium, I'm here for my good looks.
Looks good in those jeans.
Right?
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know where I was going to go with that.
Me neither. Russ is saying some weird stuff this evening already.
Let's just keep talking about Tom and his jeans.
Yeah, what else can we talk about with my jeans?
He got some new ones, and they are very nice, and they look great. Yeah. So I don't know if he told you that, Russ, or what.
What brand? Are we talking Levi's? Are we talking Wranglers? Like, what are you wearing?
We're talking Wranglers. Silver jeans. Silver jeans.
Silver.
Do you like that?
Yeah. They sell them at Mark's Work Warehouse. Free plug for them. Because
really?
The jeans are really good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right, unless they want to pay for the plug, in which case we will accept.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
2.5 weeks to get marks on the horn.
Okay.
And nail down that $50. $50 seem good?
That's a pretty good.
Every time we mention their name, $50. Marks. Yep. Marks Work Warehouse. Marks. Work Warehouse.
There you go. We're up to $6,000.
Wow.
Amazing.
This is adding up
so
real
easy.
Quick, guys.
Right. We cut out a bunch, but it still counts because it's on the tape.
And some Frito-Lay while we're at it.
Oh. Hey, do you know we're on Patreon?
What?
And when you're on Patreon, you get a special episode dedication to you. And today's patron is Rachel Johnson.
Rachel.
Hey, thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel. I love
you. You're wonderful.
I actually love her a little bit more than normal listeners.
Just why is that, Carla Johnson?
Because she's my relative.
Wait a second. Daryl was our shout out last week, too.
Huh.
This podcast brought to you by
nepotism.
The Johnson family. If you're a Johnson, visit our Patreon.
Get on board.
And Johnson & Johnson, we'd be very
I'd
happy
be
if you hopped on
I'd be delighted to have
board.
Johnson. There's a lot of Johnsons in the world. So, like, if we That's could right. get some, that Johnson money would be better than the Marx money.
Hey, yeah. let's just broaden it. If you have a Johnson.
No, that's
Patreon.
A good one, too. Yeah.
Right? Because that's like 50% of the population.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, cast a
I'm
wide
sorry
net,
I
right?
just used your last name as a reference to dicks.
It's okay. I was a teenager in the era. God, sorry. I'm so tired. I was a teenager in the era when, like, big Johnson shirts were a thing commonly worn by human beings
classic,
out
yep.
in public.
Yep.
So, like, I've been there.
Why was that a thing? Why was it a thing?
Why not?
I was, like, 15. Like, I guess there wasn't dress coats like there is now. About,
back
I don't
in
know.
Your day.
Back in my day. When
we could wear
wore,
spaghetti straps to school.
We could, which is good and should be allowed now. But, like, the penis thing, we probably could have toned that down a little.
It's too much.
Yeah. So thank you, Rachel. Also, thank you for the award nomination from Jason from Take 20 D&D. Not to brag, but we're up for an award this weekend.
Yay!
Yeah, we are.
It's so crazy and exciting.
It's for the Alberta Role Playing Game Awards, which means Amy and I get it. You guys don't get it.
Oh, we're
well, wait until
you,
we
sir.
Win That's that. True. Fucking amazing BC Badasses Award. You guys are going to be so sad.
Yeah.
That's Tom. Yes, we need to make up an award.
Yeah, I'm gonna launch the association.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Get the Excellent. Website up there like right now.
Okay, making that app.
I'm gonna Google this. Tom is frantically creating a Wix
so much
page.
Coding. So much. Yeah. I'm gonna be up all night. It's gonna be like one of those montages where I'm just eating donuts and chain smoking yeah. and getting this shit done.
Wow.
It's part of IntrigueCon here in Edmonton that happens this Saturday, October. I don't know. It happens this weekend. And we're very excited that we are nominated.
Yeah,
if we
thank
don't win,
you.
It's very nice that we've been nominated by someone within the community.
Yeah,
and
super
we're just,
cool.
We're just very happy.
We're just happy to be here. Just when we show up, we're going to be like, hey guys, we're just happy to be here.
I have no reason to expect to win. So, you know, it's just nice to show up.
Yeah.
You could be like one of those people in the Oscars when they didn't expect to win and then they have to go up there and be like, oh, I didn't think I was going to win. I want to.
I didn't write anything
out. And
then they
get played off the stage because they
Let
didn't prepare.
Let me bring up my tome of scripted
that
things
one too.
Just in case. Yeah.
This was so unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because mine's rolled up like in parchment and then it falls down the stage and rolls down the middle aisle.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like and it's that. Not a list of everyone I want to thank. It's just a list of things I hope to get for Christmas.
Just your hit list?
You're all the motherfuckers that piss me off.
Rolls down the aisle like, damn, Amy's
Russ,
so angry.
Such a doink.
And then it's crossed off.
Number one.
But then
the
like
list.
2 weeks later, wow. It's back on the list. Like, Hashtag married life.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hashtag exactly. married to your DM. That should
on
be
that
a trending.
Note.
That should be a trending thing on Twitter.
Okay, we got to stop, guys.
Many...
He's getting that look on his face. Like the
oh,
that
right.
killing look.
Now, Paisley, now.
Fuck it. Let's play D&D.
Woo!
Yay!
So you guys found yourselves walking down some stairs, and the steps descend to a walkway that appears to stretch across infinite space. Thousands of stars twinkle in unfamiliar constellations, and meteors streak through the vastness above and below the path. Just past the base of the stairs, a door, framed by nothingness, rises from the path. And 50 feet beyond that, the path meets an intersection with another door straight ahead.
So it's heaven?
Is there anything to stop us from falling off the path?
No, there does not appear to be any walkways.
Guys, don't fucking go near the path.
Oh, shit. Is it like Rainbow Road for Mario
oh
Kart?
Oh, my God. It's like Rainbow Road.
Because that was
Road.
The worst one. It was the worst one, Russ. How dare you do that to us?
I mean, it's very similar to in the fact that it's a pathway that looks like it goes through the stars. Mm-hmm.
Thea's wolf is clenching
her keister?
A turtle shell.
Oh.
Oh, fuck. Oh, boy.
So,
now, what kind of turtle shell is it?
It's only green, so who knows where
all
right. It's
going to
be.
I was going to say, is it a blue spiky?
Yeah. Oh, if it's the blue spiky, we're all done for.
Whoever's in front is done.
Although, you know what? Lara, you go first.
At this rate, probably Tiamat's in front, so you might just want to launch that blue shell.
Touché. Touché. You've solved my Mario Kart riddle.
Yay! Podcast over.
So no guardrails, we've established.
No guardrails, no.
So let's walk towards the things.
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay, what's marching order here?
I want to go last.
Okay.
Because I've got the turtle shell in my ass.
Well, I guess I'm in the middle somewhere then. Does Thaddeus want to not be beside, like, near me? Because I would understand.
Hold on a second. Wouldn't Donnie be near you? Because he's big, right? He's big now? Walking beside you?
I mean, yeah, he's like a flying, walking dragon type of thing, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, Donnie would
so
be beside you.
Two by two by two?
Two by two by two, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Flamekin's up with Flint there. Thaddeus keeping a close eye on his good friend New Lara for reasons.
Valid reasons.
He looks to you and he gives you like the two fingers to the eye and then two fingers to
I give him two thumbs up because I want him. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And you guys begin to walk out onto the pathway. And as you make it about halfway onto the pathway, you see the star, like it's all encompassing. There's stars, you see far off planets, array of different cosmos fields. And everybody make a dexterity saving throw.
Meh. 13.
Okay. That's a 15 for Flint and a 12 for Thaddeus.
And a 12 for New Lara. That's me.
As you are walking and taking in all of this beautiful spectacle that you see, meteors begin to zip by across the pathway. But all of you are dexterous enough that you don't get knocked by them. You manage to keep your footing as these zip by like within inches of some of you.
Well, that's kind of amazing.
I mean, you couldn't ask for a better experience.
You look down and you see that it looks like there's no bottom to this place. So if
would
you
call it
infinite space?
So we're talking like nonstop soda pop
at
a restaurant, just bottomless.
Yep.
Okay.
Endless breadsticks.
Oh, man, but that's how they get you. They want
and
you
you're just so full of those breadsticks.
So full of those delicious, delicious breadsticks.
The infinite breadsticks.
But then you're full
infinite
on three breadsticks.
Breadsticks, breadsticks, breadsticks. Oh, look, he's making that face that he makes.
That one face that he makes that means he loves us so much.
Yep.
All my favorite people.
Flamekins, you're the star expert. Being a pirate.
Yeah, they call me Star McGee.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, Star Master.
Probably not going to catch on.
Star Hunter. Mm-mm. Star King. Queen. No. Star. No.
Lord?
Lord.
I think that was Star taken. Lord.
That has I feel a like that has
that's
a ring
a different IP.
To it.
Yeah.
I said Star, comma, Lord.
Are these constellations and things we're seeing the same different ones as we saw when we were in the maze?
Hold on, let me keep looking. Nope, they don't look quite the same as the ones in that weird place. No, it looks different. All new and exciting. Like we're in a different space.
Goddamn portal jumping Zonthal's tower maze business.
You know, life on a pirate ship is much simpler. You guys should join me after this whole business is down.
You know what? We just might do that.
Maybe we will.
This conversation, aside from stopping to look, has taken the time that it takes to get across the pathway, and you reach the T intersection, where directly in front of you there is a door To your left, down a 25-foot hallway, is another door. And to the right is a hallway that curves off to its left.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica,
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents,
or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast, Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Let's check this one.
Okay, I'll open the door since I'm there first.
You want to, like, check for traps or anything?
Oh, yeah, that's probably something that
unless
we should
you just
do a
want
little
to
more
send
regularly.
Flamekins first. I mean,
not going first.
No, it's totally fine. I'll,
thought pirates were brave.
I'll give it that one. So I got a 2, which is,
it
not
looks,
great.
It looks like a clean as a whistle door.
Can I even understand doors at that point?
You know it's a door.
Well, he presses his whole body against the door and just waits.
Right?
You weren't looking to see if it was a door. You're looking to see if it was jerry-rigged with anything.
But I mean, I've been struck dumb, and I no longer am able to process any information, clearly.
You're ready to just throw yourself through this magical door that is your new best friend.
Okay, I'm gonna spring the door open and be ready.
You open this door, and inside you see that this small, seemingly storage closet is lined with shelves holding hundreds of different containers and jars and vials filled with different liquids, and everything is covered in dust.
Hey, Flint, what's that? What's in there?
It just seems like a lot of knickknacks and or paddywhax.
Well, give this dog a bone. And I...
Yes, Amy, yes.
This is amazing.
I pad forward, because I am still a winter wolf, and I peek my head in. Do I recognize any of these potions? Because I spent time on that ship with the alchemist building big splody bombs and stuff.
Make an investigation roll.
12.
As you examine them, they mostly appear like there are different mundane and exotic reagents and components that would be used by a wizard or some sort of alchemist in different spells. But most of these supplies look like they have been there for a long time, and they have been either evaporated or congealed or decayed from whatever they once were, and they don't look usable anymore.
So, like, nothing in there worth taking?
No.
There's no, like, footprints in the dust to the one, like, real dope shit cabinet where they've been going in and out getting things?
There is not. Okay. No.
Okay.
No. Guys, there's nothing in here. Well, there's stuff in here. Nothing useful.
It's yucky stuff.
What she said.
Okay,
Okay.
Where to next? Left or right?
Well, left leads to a door and right leads to nothingness or...
Or somethingness.
Or somethingness.
Could be somethingness. You don't know.
Well, if we check the door first, it could just be another storage closet. I'd hate to have to double back.
That's true. I agree. Let's like eliminate the door possibility or maybe find exactly what we're looking
hopefully
for.
Hopefully guacamole's behind that door.
And then we can come. Yeah, because who knows? What if that path goes for like 8 miles the other way? Let's just check the door.
Does it end in a rap battle after 8 miles?
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope so, because I've been practicing so hard, you guys.
Can you lose yourself in the music? The moment?
I mean, you only get one shot.
The only redeeming factor is Mom's spaghetti.
Oh,
but then
best.
You barf it up anyway.
All right. Yeah, so we'll go down to the left there, Russ.
Okay, who's walking down and who's opening
I think
doors?
Same order.
Right? Same order?
Yeah.
I will roll to check for things.
Yep.
That's better. That's a 15.
It's a push.
It looks good. It looks good to you.
that's a good
I pull when it should have been a push.
Yeah. Yep, all right, no. I open that door.
Again, it opens with a loud creak, and you look in through the door, and you see two massive hourglasses that occupy this irregularly shaped chamber. And their glass globes are nearly 15 feet across, with each hourglass rising almost to the ceiling 30 feet overhead. Each is suspended by chains and pulleys and gears in such a way that it can be turned over to set its sand running. Slumped against the wall at the far side of the chamber is the cultist who called to you from the balcony of the tower. His dark robes are charred and torn, and a blue dragon mask is clutched in his red stained hands.
Shit.
Okay, I'm going to hustle over there and check for a pulse.
Make a medicine check.
14.
Okay, what's everybody else doing as Flint hustles into this room?
I'm looking at these giant hourglasses.
I'm also going to do a medicine check because I have, like, I don't know, I'm good at that, so I just want to, like, do something.
Are you maybe going to stab him by accident?
22. Hey, that is not by accident, that's by compulsion. I didn't, like, trip and stab my good friend Thaddeus. I did it intentionally.
I was very
I
much
did a
into
very
it.
Good job
that
of
sounds
it.
Better.
Although
you
I regret
it was just
doing
good staff.
You did it handily.
Flint and Nulara rush over to check the body of what you can tell Flint for sure is Iskander. You check for a pulse and you check over his wounds. There is no pulse. There's no sign of breath. No sign of movement.
What does it look like he died from?
You're not there.
What does it look like he died from?
Thanks, girl.
The wounds inflicted.
Amy was hitting Russ, in case you couldn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Oh, God, please stop.
Okay, well, that came after. Oh, you're just going to edit those together.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's magic.
Doctored.
Magic of radio. The wounds inflicted on his body look like they were perhaps done by the elementals that you met once you arrived down in the dungeon.
The ones we ran away from so bravely.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, we weren't going to win.
Yeah, I know. That
Better
was a good choice.
Better to escape with our lives.
Yeah, it was a good choice.
And we, you know what? We do not often choose to run from a battle. Usually we're like, we're going to stick out.
Sometimes we forget that is an option, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't do that.
We forget a lot of things here on Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird choice.
I call up. So, he's dead then.
I couldn't find a pulse. Nulara, could you?
No, I couldn't find a pulse, and it's... I mean, it seems a little anticlimactic. He's just here and he's just dead, to be honest with you. After we've been trying so hard to get here, we don't even, like, get to talk to him. That being said, here's the mask we're looking for, so that's pretty great.
Hey, Flint, you should probably hold on to that.
Yeah, all right, I'll keep that safe.
Thea says a little, like, not trying to be too pointed about it, but, like, maybe Nular shouldn't hold on to it. Just
that's fair. That's fair. I should not hold on to it.
Yeah. I'm going to grab that there mask there, Russ.
Okay, sorry. Is he, like, speared to the wall, or is he just, like, did he just die upright?
No, he's just, like, slumped over.
He's slumped.
He sustained wounds, and it looks like he came into this room and sat down and died.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought he was on his feet.
I want to, I have that hourglass that we took from the wizards in the ice storm hall area.
Okay.
So I'm going to pull that out.
Mm-hmm.
See if anything happens.
It doesn't do anything.
Of a plan, but like we have
like
now,
a remote control.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I don't know. We've now arrived in a room with some giant hourglasses.
I mean, it makes sense.
There's got to be a connection.
Maybe. Yeah. So anyway, I pull that out and like I guess hold it out in front of me, kind of like pointed at the hourglasses.
Wave it around.
Geiger counter.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Do you explain to the group what you do, or do you just do this?
I think I just do it. I don't even think it's that weird. I think they would.
No.
I don't know.
You pull it out and you begin moving it around, and nothing appears to be happening with it or within the room as you're doing this.
Do I know what these are?
Maybe. How would you know what these are?
Okay, well, I worked in university, and though I wasn't the world's best scribe, I know where I'm going with that. I wasn't the world's best scribe, and I used to, like, fuck off and go read stuff that I thought was interesting to me, mm-hmm. and being a druid and having all my natural abilities, I was super curious with what wizards or sorcerers could do, and so I think I've probably read something that might have to do with something like this.
Sure. Make an arcana roll.
I will. Oh! That's a 25.
Holy shit.
Damn.
Was that a rainbow
my
die?
My O was justified.
It was! Amy!
In your random readings, we'll say that you don't necessarily know what these hourglasses are, but you perhaps came across something about Zonthal himself. And you know that he was a master of spatial magic, which is not only the physical space around you, but he dabbled in the manipulation of time.
Hold on, you guys. I feel silly talking about this as a wolf. So I morph back, like, from back legs to standing legs.
Ew, is that the sound it makes when you transform from a winter wolf? Because you've done that a lot of times. And I did not know that was the wet sound you were making.
Usually I put in something majestic, like a big, like, and like an eagle sound comes from this noise. I'm going back and re-editing every time.
Don't you re-edit shit.
And putting in
Chestburster, where'd you come from?
Not so majestically turn back into an elf.
Yeah.
And I say, I've read somewhere that Zonthal was really interested in the manipulation we know of space, dealing with all of his stupid portals that we've been going through here, but also time and... I mean, I don't want to be too literal with this, but there are two giant hourglasses in front of us. I think this might have something to do with time travel.
Wait, do you think we could use these to... How far back do you think we could go? Could it be, like, minutes? Could we maybe arrive in time to save Iskander? Or do you think we could go back even further?
Well, I was hoping to go back even further. Not to be selfish or anything, but... I'm hoping to go back far enough to save guacamole. What's a heavy pregnant silence?
Are you thinking... I want you to get guacamole back, but are you thinking we go back to, like, the beginning of the maze. We have to go through the maze again.
Baby Tiamat! We go back and murder Tiamat when she's a baby.
Tiamat isn't... She's not on... You know what? We can't explain this to you right now. Yeah. Just be quiet. The grown-ups are talking.
No, you know what? I want to hear more about Flamekin's theory there of Tiamat as a baby.
If we're traveling back in time, there's got to be a time when Tiamat...
I put my hand over her mouth. I don't know how it would work. I don't know if we would be transported to that moment in time to change it, or if we would be rewinding time and then end up in the exact same moment, whether or not we would keep our memories or not. But I know it's selfish, but I have to try.
I don't even think it's that selfish. I mean, Guacamole saved our butts and flown us around, and I mean, she's a part of the team. I just worry about, shit's already pretty bad in the world, and I worry about messing it up more. We don't know what these things can do.
Maybe we should just try like a little bit. Maybe we could just go back a couple minutes if we can make it work.
Some light time travel.
Just a sprinkle of time travel.
Maybe a few grains of sand. Maybe we can, moderate how much time travel happens. Flint, would you mind helping me? I think the left one, if we're looking at it from the door, the left one is the past, the right one is the future.
Sure. Sounds like a good enough theory to me.
I beckon him over.
Flint slaps both his biceps and brings his hands together.
Ew.
And pulls his sleeves up and walks over.
How much are the tickets to the gun show?
They're free, baby. How hard do I pull on this thing?
As hard as you want.
That's what she said.
Oh, God. What is the pulley? Like, is it a rope or is it like a
chain?
You said chain.
Yeah.
Let's pull together. Let's just see how much strength it's going to take to move this thing.
Okay, yeah, we'll reef on it.
One of you make a strength check with advantage because the other one is helping.
You roll better.
I'm on it. Oh, nat 20.
Yeah. Jesus. That gun show compliment really, like, pumped you up.
Right, really landed now.
Yeah. I've been flirting with him this whole time. He just doesn't know it.
So you begin to pull on the chains, and it takes quite a lot of effort for you to do so, more so than you think should be needed. And as they begin to move and the hourglass begins to tilt, you hear this hideous, ear-grating groan as the chains break free from the rust that's set into them, and the gears begin to move after however long they've been sitting still. You get it to the point where the sand begins to run. How far are you going with this?
I just want like a little bit of the sand.
Like a 45 degree angle? Like just a trickle?
Just a trickle.
Yeah, the sand begins to trickle into the empty basin. But as it does so, nothing appears to happen. What's new Lara doing during this?
Just like spectating.
Okay.
I mean, you know, realistically, probably just
thinking
watching.
About stabbing people.
Thinking about the regret thoughts. I feel for stabbing people. But yeah, I mean, probably just like bracing in case we whip through some time portal at high speeds.
Sure. Nothing appears to occur as the sand slowly begins to trickle into the next
basin. Do you guys feel any different? Does anything feel different?
No. I mean,
I'm kind of hungry.
Were you hungry before they started pulling the pulley?
Yeah.
So that hasn't changed then.
No, but she asked how we were feeling.
Yeah, that's not what I meant.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Thaddeus,
should we try a little more?
Well, maybe. Maybe we need to do both at once. Maybe this activates. I don't know, something.
Well, should we?
I'll try giving it a little more. So Heave! Don't turn it like all the way upright, yeah. But a little more.
It begins to freely flow into the basin. Anybody who's watching it, make an investigation roll.
I will.
14.
That's a 10. So I'm watching intently, but apparently seeing nothing.
I'll roll for Thaddeus.
I was going to say it's Thaddeus.
Oh, a solid 8 for Thaddeus.
Everybody who's actively watching it, you catch glimpses of shimmering diamonds as they roll through. And as Flint and Thea turn the hourglass and it begins to flow more freely into the basin, nothing occurs.
Hey there! I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. Thank you for joining us for episode 57 of Dungeons & Dragons. The hourglass? Want to start by saying that you, our wonderful listeners, yes, you, with your help, we are experiencing some amazing successes, and we are always humbled by your constant ability and want to share this show, our show, your show, with your friends, family, and all the strangers that the internet brings to you. At the time of recording this, we have an amazing, growing Patreon community that show their support by giving us their hard-earned dollars to enable us to do giveaways, make upgrades, and just make the show better with each and every episode. We have a super fun Facebook group that grows every week with new people looking to create a fun community to talk about D&D, the podcast, and find ways to draw inspiration from each other and be better gamers around the table. Our Twitter account has just passed 3,500 followers. That's insane. And we're still trying on Instagram. I mean, if you have suggestions about what you want to see on any social feed, but especially Instagram, please fire us a note, dumbdragonpodcast@gmail.com. The too long don't read of this is thank you for coming along with us, sharing with us, and experiencing the adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with us. We love you all. Final big thanks to Sirenscape for some of the amazing atmosphere and sound in today's episode. Make sure you check them out at Sirenscape.com to bring your games to life. Links for everything mentioned today can be found in the description below. Our next episode will be out Wednesday, October 17th. So let's finish up this week's, though, and see if Amy can remember the word for hourglass. That really is the question this week. Have a great one. We'll talk soon.
Maybe this one is broken. Let's try the other one.
Okay, I slowly, let the chain back and put it to its natural position.
You mean you don't just let it go and make it go like...
I don't just let it go. Russ, are there any of those handy, oil cans that you can, beep, beep on things to,
Oh, yeah. You know, that yeah, Dorothy had ones. For the tin...
Yes, that's
tin
exactly what I thought of.
The tin can man. Oh, Amy.
Tin can man.
Yeah, he was a tin can man.
Not in this room that you see. Yep.
So nothing.
So you let it fall back to its original position... and do you two go over? Do you ask somebody else to go do that?
I'm already all warmed up with the gun show. I might as well go.
All right, Flint, you walk over, knowing the full strength of what you need to do to turn this. You turn it to the same position, I assume?
Yep.
And allow it to flow freely, but not all the way up into the bottom basin. And again, nothing begins to happen. Those watching do see... more diamonds trickle through, mixed in with the sand.
Anything, guys?
No, just pretty diamonds.
I don't know. Should we try both at the same time, or go all upright with one of them? There's a couple more combinations we could try, so.
Thaddeus, can you help me with this one?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Oh, Thaddeus speaks.
Sorry, yeah, I just got stabbed and I almost died.
No, it's been really rough on you, buddy. It's fine.
He's had a rough couple days.
So, let's try pulling it at the same time.
You guys want me to do anything?
No, girl, you're fine.
Laura, get over here.
Yeah.
Raw Ross, you and me, we'll be cheerleaders in the background.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
So Thaddeus and I start... pulling at the same time that Flint starts pulling.
Pull harder!
You're very strong.
I make weird straining noises.
Don't poop yourself! Okay, you're doing good.
The hourglasses begin to tip up. Are you going all the way up, or are you're going to that 45 degree?
We'll both go to the 45 and see, is anyone feeling anything?
No, not feeling anything. Nothing appears to be occurring as you do this.
Let's keep going. I don't know why I feel like I need to talk above sand dripping out of an
No, because the chains are making loud noises and
well,
stuff.
Sure, it's
oh,
loud.
Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah. Yes.
The hideous noise is still going on.
Let's tip them all the way up.
We can find our oil can. All right, full power, I guess, coming up.
Crank it up to 11!
Both hourglasses are vertical now, and the sand is flowing freely into the basin. And everyone in the room observes and feels like a warble in the air. A movement in the space around the hourglasses and within the sand. But nothing physically appears to change.
Did anyone feel that?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, did anyone feel that? I guess you did.
Yeah, I mean, I felt something,
I
but I don't know that, like, did anything change? I mean, Iskander's still super
still
dead.
Still Deadsville?
Yeah.
Population
the gears
Iskander?
Are still grinding and stuff.
Well, they're not grinding because it's stationary
anymore.
Vertical.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Let's let them down. Obviously, nothing's happening.
Yeah, we slowly put them back to normal.
I walk over to the one that I was nearest to, and I put my hands into my little, like, kind of like obviously a component pouch or something in my little thing, and I rub some ruby dust on my hands, and I put my hands onto the glass, and I say, "You magic?" And I cast Detect Magic.
That's the best spell casting.
Hey, you magic?
You magic? Hey, you. You magic?
Hey, sand. You magic?
You magic sand?
You do this, and you detect within the sand itself faint auras of transmutation magic. But it's weak. You feel like it has faded over the years, and it is not at its full strength.
You guys, inside of these, there was a magic, probably allowing for time travel, but it hasn't been used in so long, and if it doesn't have a source, it weakens, it dies, and I can barely feel this magic. This isn't going to do anything for us.
So clearly this is all from Zonthal. Like, the cultists haven't been using these things.
Probably not.
Which is good news, because I'd hate to find out the Cult of the Dragon had a big old time travel device. So
yeah, that would be rough for us.
That would be bad. So I guess that's the silver lining. I'm sorry that it didn't work so that we could find Guak.
But them diamonds, though, right?
Maybe. What about them?
They look very big.
They do look big.
And do you want the diamonds, Flamikins?
I mean, good idea, Flint.
How big are the diamonds? I mean, this is like a 30-foot tall thing.
I mean, they have some varying sizes, but most of them, like, you know, palm-sized, small apple-sized diamonds.
Those are pretty big diamonds.
Oh, Flamikin, just go for it.
All right.
She uses the butt end of her crossbow, and she begins, like, hitting the glass. She's like,
did she forget that it was loaded and the arrow shoots out behind her?
I'll bring my axe over and help her out with the butt end of my axe.
All right, make an attack roll there, sir.
Don't roll my dice.
I didn't get
a
dice.
A 21.
You rolled this.
And give me some damage.
Damage.
You magic sand.
Damn, Gina.
You magic sand.
Hey,
girl.
You magic. I rolled full damage, so that's 17 damage.
You join Flamikins in hitting at this hourglass, and she hits it a couple times, but then you take one good swing and shatter the hourglass, and the sand begins to pour out at your feet. You see diamonds are mixed in.
Michelle, like, I loosened it for you. Like a pickle jar.
She looks at you like, hey, yeah, thanks for the help, bud. I would have got there, but that's okay. All right, well, I'm just going to start putting these in my satchel here if nobody else wants them.
I mean, we don't do a lot of money stuff, but like...
throw me one.
Like, apple-sized diamonds seem like...
I mean, eventually we're not going to be saving the world, and you're going to want to buy a kingdom. Holy fuck!
Fine, throw me one.
Okay, okay.
I'd already started walking.
She throws a diamond towards Thea.
I catch it handily. Left-handed. Thea's left-handed. I just decided.
Character development.
What?
Canon.
And you transport to the other side of the room.
What the fuck?
And in your hand, the diamond begins to disappear.
Okay.
What just happened?
What'd you just do?
What'd you do?
I threw you a diamond.
She throws a diamond up in her hand and is looking across the room, and it lands back, and she teleports 30 feet across the room, and the diamond begins to disappear in her hand. She's like, these are motherfucking teleport diamonds!
I guess not all the magic is gone.
Flamykins, were you, like, are you guys directing that? Like, are you thinking about a place and then you get to the place, or are you...
I thought about that place that I'm standing here.
Flint, throw me a diamond.
I toss her a diamond.
And as I catch it, I close my eyes and I think of just outside the door. So I can't see it, but I think of it.
You teleport to just outside the door to this chamber.
I walk back in through the door as the diamond disappears in my hand.
Magic!
Okay, so...
Is this the first time she's seen magic?
I mean, it is not.
It is definitely.
No, I just get very excited.
We were literally just in a hall of, like, infinite space and nothingness, which was pretty fucking impressive.
That's amazing.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. These could definitely come in handy.
I mean, it seems helpful, so I'm going to take a few.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take three. They're, like, apple size.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't have a bag of holding anymore, so I'm just going to take three.
Yeah, three sounds like a good number.
I put them in my pockets. There are weird bulges happening.
Everybody takes...
So it's like high school.
You take some time to search through the sand, and you each take three.
I was a boy in high school.
And as you begin to move towards the door, you see Flamingkin still digging through the sand, and she manages to take a couple more.
Flamingkins, come on.
Yeah, they're big diamonds. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so... We have the mask. Should we just go to, like, a teleport elevator?
Teleport-a-vator?
I don't know.
Teleport-a-vator?
Mm-hmm. Teleporter.
Well, what about that other hallway we didn't go down?
I don't know. What do you guys think? Like,
What if Guac is in there?
I mean, she could be.
Then we better bring some chips.
I turn around and I deck her.
Oh, fuck.
It's just another room or another storage area. I can't leave without knowing.
We're right here.
No, we might as well. Yeah, we might as well check off the boxes.
I mean, honestly, we could walk in there and see a teleport evader, right? We don't have to go back through past the elementals and everything. So.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Let's go see, and everybody cross their fingers and hope for guacamole.
Same thing I do every time I go to a party.
Me too.
All right, we walk down the... Right?
Right? Oh, it's the best when they show up and there's guac.
That or, like, seven-layer dip.
Oh, love seven-layer dip.
Give me a good seven-layer dip.
But I like not sour cream. I want, like, the taco seasoning in the sour cream. I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
You know what? No sour cream at all for me because I'm lactose intolerant. You put some Greek yogurt in there.
Even better. Okay. It's like... Oh. So rich.
Okay, sorry. We walk down. Yeah,
that's fine.
The hallway of nothingness.
I guess I need a snack.
Stay tuned for our new podcast, Seven Layer Dip Chat.
Oh my god. First episode, layer one.
Walking order. Marching order. Who's going where?
First.
Last.
Just like all my YouTube comments.
I guess I'm in the middle, like me and Donnie are in the middle again.
So basically same marching order.
Yeah.
You begin to walk down this hallway that curves to the left as you walk, and you begin to see a light shining out as the corridor opens into a room set with comfortable-looking oversized furnishings. Flint, you're the first one to see this.
Do I just want to take a load off? Do I just want to have a seat because it looks so comfortable?
Maybe.
Okay.
In the center of the room, a red-skinned creature wearing armor of flame, bronze, and volcanic stone sits cross-legged on the floor, studying a chessboard. And he looks up as you step foot into the entryway of this chamber. And he lets a big smile cross his face and he says, "Hello!"
So these are different stars than normal. Are they the same stars as we saw when they were different stars than normal in the maze? I'm going to ask Flamykins in game.
Okay, do it.
This is how I'm going to set up all
You're
RP
so
from now on.
Funny.
This part gets cut out every time. God. Just move to the bloopers.
Sorry.
This is the much needed. The hinges with exhibit signs of much needed oil. I'll re-record that. That's bullshit. There's a fucking loud creak is what there is. That's what all my sound effects are for.
Okay, I'm sorry. The word hourglass is never on the tip of my tongue. Ever. And I always have to mentally search for the word. Even if we're repeating this word repeatedly in the episode. I just wanted everyone to know my struggle.
That's fair.
That's fair.
The pulley system is to the left.
Hourglass.
Hourglass.
Fuck!
Aw, that's fun.
Okay, so I...
It begrins.
You got any magic?
That was amazing.
And they bark at you in response.
Wow.
Stop it.
I'm watching a video and it literally looked like Amy started barking. It was incredible.
And she just did that starting.
I know. It's like, okay, this is next level with the sound effects now.
Well,
that
you know,
amazing.
I'm just really, I was just a winter wolf. So I go up to it. And I'm just like, woof, 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 woof.
Whatever that guy from Police Academy's name is, Amy's the new him.
Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium in The Valentine Heresy, an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Newly promoted Inquisitor Lucius Valentine has received visions of the death of the immortal God Emperor. With few options before him, he teams up with hive-bred criminal siblings Lyric and Alto. Together, they must defeat a cabal of shadowy foes to save the Emperor and the Imperium. Can this trio of unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war?
The Emperor is going to die in a year. My job is to make sure the Emperor doesn't die. Because if the Emperor dies, the Astronomicon goes out. And the only thing keeping the Imperium alive is the fact that we have a very large navy and a very large army and space marines, and they shoot everyone. It's delightful. Praise the Emperor. Thanks for that. But if the Astronomicon goes out, we have no navy, we have no ability to defend ourselves, and the Xenos and Chaos will overrun us instantly, because there will be no defense.
So every planet will turn out like Galen's Glory?
And that would be the best case scenario. Which is why we need to keep the Emperor on his throne.
I spit in my palm and put my hand out for a handshake.
Am I supposed to do something in return? Is this... I'm sorry, I just don't know what this is.
Alto's like, yeah, like this. He spits in his hand and puts it out towards you as well.
Then I spit in both palms and shake their hands separately.
We have an inquisitorial band.
Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.